Our reading for August 31st comes from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. In chapter 1, toward the end of our reading, we had talked about Christ being raised from the dead. And in chapter 2, we find that Paul is talking about God, who had the power to raise Jesus from the dead, also has the power to then make us alive spiritually. He says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So in that state, there was no hope of spiritual life, no hope of eternal life because of sin. But verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Because of the work of the Christ, being the sacrificial lamb for our sins, stepping into our place, being that propitiation, Jesus acted out the things that were necessary for God to have his love be enacted upon us and grant us his grace and his mercy. So the emphasis that Paul is using in chapter 2 is that Jews and Gentiles alike have come to share in the blessing of Christ, and they both have God's grace. It's very similar to what we were just looking at in the book of Romans, if you think back to when we were reading through there. And so he says, we've been raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Think about how God is presented here by Paul. He's loving, he's kind, he's full of grace, he is just, and he is powerful. We find Paul really giving points about the nature of God, even in this section that is focused on the salvation of Jews and Gentiles, when he's talking to those at Ephesus. Verse 8 then, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Remember, grace is that free gift of God. And it says, this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. That doesn't mean that we don't have anything to do in order to access God's grace. We have to take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ. God offers his covenant relationship to us But there are terms along with that. That doesn't take away the fact that it's a gift, but it does mean we do have responsibilities. James makes it very clear that it's not enough just to believe. You actually have to act upon that. Faith includes works if it's genuine faith. But Paul is saying it's not something you earn, which is also true. We don't earn it so that God owes us his grace. It's still a gift. I usually explain it in this way. Let's say that it's your birthday, and some kind person, some relative perhaps, writes a check to you of some amount of money for your birthday. Well, that check, you can't do anything until you cash it. So you go down to the bank, and you endorse that check, and you hand it over to the bank, and they either give you cash or they credit your account so that you have the money in your account. Now, does the fact that you had to go down to the bank and the fact that you had to endorse that check, does that take away the fact that it was a gift from that relative? No. No, you had to do those things in order to receive fully that gift, but it didn't take away the fact that it was a gift. So he says you've received the grace of God, not as a result of works, so that one would boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, there's part of it too. He says there are works that we have to do in order to be in Christ Jesus, and that's what he intended for us. Verse 11, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at the same time at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, this explanation is no different than the beginning of chapter 2, except that he's including a fact that they were separated from the Jews at the same time. But he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So you were alienated, you were separated, but no longer. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both Jews and Gentiles, one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments. So there's two ways that he's talking here. He's talking about a relationship with God, and he's talking about a relationship with brethren. So we need to keep in mind that both are being discussed within this section. But he says, we've taken away these law of commandments and ordinances that you might live in Christ, that you might be that new man in place of the two, that is Jews and Gentiles. So just to recap, he's saying that both Jew and Gentile have been reconciled to God, and they have both come into this relationship. And much like we talked about in Romans with the Jews and the Gentiles in the church there, Paul made it clear that they were on equal footing and equal standing, that they become brethren together in one body, not two bodies in Christ, one body with Christ as the head. So not only have all of them been reconciled to God, but they've taken away the separation that meant Gentiles were by themselves, Jews were by themselves, and they became Christians in the body of Christ, all reconciled together, becoming those brethren. So verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Okay, that's Gentiles and Jews. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Through Jesus we have that access. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So he kind of takes a long way around it and puts it to them, I guess, worded in a few different ways. But the point is, we were separated from God. We were separated from each other. And now we're all one in Christ. And that's truly a beautiful thing, that by the love of God, we've been able, by his grace, to be given this wonderful gift of fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. Thank you for listening today. Please come back tomorrow as we look at Ephesians chapter 3. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.